Shabbat Bamidbar. It's a new book in the Torah. We're moving rapidly now through the year, of course, and moving towards the end of the Chumash of our five. This new book, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. And the passage we heard this morning was Numbers, Bamidbar 1, chapter 1 through to 16. And from the Haftarah was the prophet Hoshea. That was chapter 2, 14 through to 23. And from the Messianic writings, it was the Besorah, the good news according to Yochanan, John. And that was chapter 10, verses 27 through to 30. What a lovely declaration. Short little bit of reading there from Yochanan. What a wonderful declaration. You know, the power of our God, and he will lose none from his hand, because he is all powerful. Awesome, awesome promise. It's one of those verses that you just love to pray, love to meditate on, love to drain the truth out of those words into our lives. Because Bamidbar is a challenge. It is a challenge. Bamidbar is the fifth word, the fifth recognizable word, different word in the portion, different from the words that we normally have at the beginning here. The first one is Vayedaber and goes on to the fifth, Bamidbar. And instantly, you Hebrew specialists are sitting there and you're thinking, hang on a minute, Rabbi, Vayedaber, Bamidbar, that sounds almost the same, and you're absolutely right. It has exactly the same root in Hebrew, and that should scare the life out of us. Vayedaber, and he spoke, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. Fearful and yet eager to hear what God has to say, and yet at the same time, as we discover when we look at the words in this way and we understand what Bamidbar is, as a book that covers those years of the wilderness years of our wandering, encapsulated in that one book, as it were, everything that happened to us in detail as we marched through that parched, dry, barren Negev land that we know. If you've been in Israel and sat and prayed in the Negev, you will know what I'm talking about. And all you can hear is the birds crowing overhead and the rocks crumbling around you in the heat that's coming up from underneath. Bamidbar, in this place, God speaks to you. Scares me, because I don't want to be spoken to in the wilderness. I want to be spoken to under my duvet with a cup of tea in my hand, with the security of hearing the ping of the microwave as my ready break is ready. That's where I want God to speak to me. I want him to speak to me in the comfort of my office, maybe even in the comfort of my car with some nice Messianic Jewish worship CDs playing around me, and the sun is shining, and my life is pure joy. That's when I want God to speak to me, because I'm ready to hear God at that moment. Are you ready at that moment? Yeah? You know, everything is joy. You literally skip out of bed, because the day is wonderful, and you're saying, Lord, I am ready to hear from you today. I am all ears. And yet, apparently, it's not ready to, you know, you don't hear, and you're going through the scriptures, and you get a bit of this and that. And yet, the scriptures are clear to us. Vayedaber Bamidbar, in the wilderness, the dusty, dry, barren, hot land, does God speak to you? We want the easy times, the times of blessings, the times of refreshing. And so many people, I have heard this preached so often, that if you are a believer, you are walking in victory after victory after victory in your life, and everything is fantastic. You have three Porsches, two Audis, and three Mercedes parked on your drive. And everything is wonderful. Everything is glorious. Everything is great, because this is what it's like to live that walk of blessing. And I have heard this preached, Vayedaber Bamidbar, in the desert years God speaks to you. And in our cozy Western existence, we are busy pushing that thought and concept out of our heads. We do not want dry, dusty, barren. That isn't for us. That's for those who are cursed of God, who have no blessing of God. We do not want to walk in that place. And yet that was the place that God spoke to our people. It wasn't when we were in the lands that we got the Ten Commandments. It was at the foot of a dry, dusty mountain with no water around us, no place where we could grow our crops, trusting in God to live from one day to the next. That was the position our God brought us to receive his revelation from heaven. And maybe if it had been under our duvet in Tel Aviv, I wonder if we would have been ready to receive that revelation. Because we kind of think we know God. We kind of think we know, we depend upon him. We can say those words. But when God actually takes you to that place where everything is being stripped away from you and you are in Bamidbar, you are in that wilderness place and all you have is God, then you're listening. Because there is nothing else around you going to take your mind off him at that point. And I'm telling you this morning from my own personal experience, we fight against that place. Because it's not a pleasant place to be. We learn to listen. And there's stuff you know in my life, there's stuff in your lives. I know from some of you, you shared it with me just recently. For many of you, we are many of us in this congregation right now going through that Bamidbar, that Midbar experience right now. The uncanny thing about this, 5 years ago, I was going through my filing cabinet, just looking at some of the previous sermons and things as I normally do each week, and I came across this one from 5 years ago, talking about how God speaks to you in the desert experience, and I remember saying the words so easily, they fell over my lips. So easy. You know, I know, brother, you may be going through that right now, you know, I'm praying for it, I am with you, brother. You know what, I had to repent this week. Because I was not there. And I've been there. Some of you are still there. Even now, walking through this moment in time. Experiencing what that means. 5 years ago, it was easy to say those words that you have to listen and trust God in those dry and dusty times. Easy 5 years ago. This year, this week, I stand here and I say those words in fear. Because God brings you to that place. The place where Israel learnt to trust God was in Midbar, in the wilderness. In Egypt we had too much pain. Our backs were too sore. The land still ahead of us, the mere promise, an illusion of God's promises and words. Who knows if God would even bring us to that point. We didn't know God in this way. We were trusting and yet it was so far away. Unknown, unseen. Right now we were in the desert. And we learn to trust him in that place. And if you've been there, you'll know it's not easy. You'll know when your eyes are telling you that everything is collapsing around you, when there's no certainty, there's no place to go, when even you wake up in the morning and you ask yourself the first question, where will I sleep tonight? And it's not easy. And the only rock you have that is reliable at that moment is our God. It's a hard place, but it's a good place. And it's the times when I know and you know. The times when we ask God, we seek God, we are pleading with him. Does he care? Does he hear? Does he know? Does he understand what I'm going through? Does he even bother? Does he even see as we weep in helplessness at those moments? Because everything has been stripped away. But it's those moments that God meets us head on. Those are the places he meets us head on. Those moments he breaks through. Those are the times that we get changed, not cuddled up under our duvet. The duvet doesn't change you. The duvet experience doesn't change you. You're not changed when you walk into a dining room with a table full of food. Those moments don't change you. The things that change you is when you walk somewhere and there is nothing and then there is because God provides. That's what changes you. That's what makes you different. Because at that moment God breaks through to us. We get a new revelation, a new understanding of who he is, a new understanding of his love. Yes, even to that point he pursues us in his love and goodness and his kindness. It's a well-worn cliche, but no less true because of all of this, that it is at our moments of weakness and vulnerability that he's able to reach in and change us and do the spirit surgery he needs to do in our lives. Because we like to walk around with an armour on us, a shell wrapped around us, projecting strength and power, projecting the fact that we're in control of our lives. And we like to do this. And when we're doing this and we're strong in ourselves, paying lip service to his strength, there is no way that God is going to break through. Because we don't want him to break through. We're not interested in him breaking through. We are sorted. We are strong. Our lives are in control. Everything is as it should be. Lord, I don't want you to break in. And you can come and pray. And you can say those words. Sing those words. Break into my life. And you leave the building. And you're thankful that he's not. Because you know if he does, your stable, balanced world will come crashing round your ears. And who knows what you'll be left with at the end. As you survey the rubble of what used to be the certainty of your life. Who knows what the Lord will rebuild it into. Who knows if I will like the new decorations. Maybe I won't even like the paint he's chosen for the new walls. But if the Lord doesn't build, we build in vain. He's not building our lives. If he's not constructing it by his pattern, then we build in vain. I was reminded as we were worshipping a moment ago, Abraham Avinu, the one who founded Judaism, who founded that place of faith that we all of us today still walk in. When he stopped trusting God and started trusting in his flesh to try and pursue the vision that God had given him, reaching out to the concubine, and look at the problems that came from that. This is what happens when we think we are strong in ourselves, that we are able to define our lives according to what we think is God's calling, the building we think you should be building in our lives. And all the time the Lord is saying to Abraham, not this way, trust me, trust me. It will be better. But we struggle with this. But when we're exhausted, when we're vulnerable, when we're broken, when we've arrived at that place, when the only thing we can do is lay on our faces and beg his mercy because we've exhausted ourselves, that's when we begin to receive from him. Because it's the only way we are able to receive from him, because we just put up too many shields all the time. And yet, isn't it strange? For so many believers, weakness and vulnerability seem to be reflections of failure and defeat, and we run from these things. There's not one of us in this building, including me, that would actually like to have my vulnerability revealed to the extent that it is. We do not want it. Because the world is teaching us all the time, failure, defeat isn't good. Don't be weak, be strong. Don't be vulnerable, be in charge. And the world is screaming at us that this is what it's all about. And this wrong teaching has come into the body of Messiah and come into our thinking from the scriptures, that somehow even here in our home as a family of believers together, we still think we have to project that strength and the fact that somehow we are in control and we're in charge and everything is good. And I know this isn't true for you. I know it's not true because I have people in my office and people on the phone and people texting me saying, Rabbi, my life is chaos. So I know it's not true. But you won't find judgment from me. The only comment you'll receive from me is, jump into the boat and let's see if we can float together. Because it's the only answer. In the kingdom of God, the values of this world are turned upside down. The barren years, the wilderness years, was part of God's plan for all of this. And yet it's a path that we do not choose. It's the path that we do not want. But it became the path for Israel's survival, and not just survival. It's what we learned during that generation. It's what we learned when we're in that barren place, the really hard lessons of spiritual life and walking with God. It's what we learned then that meant we could go into the promises of God later on. We could only enter Israel, we could only enter the promised land at that point because we had gone through the wilderness. And despite us standing at the Red Sea thinking, beam me up, Scotty, there's got to be a way to get there quickly, just take me there. There was no shortcut. The only way we were going to get to the land which God had promised to us was to walk through the dusty, dry, barren, hot place to get to where he was taking us. That was the only way. But we don't want crisis, we don't want pain, we don't want these things as part of the experience of our lives. And yet I'm here today standing before you as one who has experienced so many of these things and so much of this. And I'm saying to you today, I'm stronger now standing here because God has taken me through these things. And he will do for you too. Don't run from what God is taking you through. Embrace it. Embrace it, people. Because if you embrace that time which God takes you through, what you will learn from him at that moment will get you ready for the bit he's taking you to next. And if you run from it, you will not learn. And you will not be ready for what is coming next. Because in your mind you worked it out and thought, I can understand this and I will make this happen and that happen. And then when it hits the next bit you've got to get through, you will not be ready. And like those virgins who had no oil at that moment, you'll be scurrying off to try and find the oil, to try and find what you need at that point, because you were not ready when Mashiach came back. You weren't ready for what is to come. You learn the techniques of survival as individuals, families, groups, communities, as a nation. You learn it at that moment when you are walking through those dry, dusty, barren years. Those moments when everything seems like pain and there seems to be no fruit. Because one of our problems that we have as people, as human beings, is quite simply this. We think that if we know about God, we think if we've read enough books about him, if we've gone through enough commentaries about him, if we've listened to enough sermons about him, that somehow we are going to be prepared. But second-hand knowledge never prepares you for what you have to go through. It's useful. It is useful. But knowledge about God will not get you through the difficult times. The people who wrote those books wrote it because they went through those times and wrote down what they learned from it. But that's what they learned from it. And it may be not what you need to learn from it. It's useful. But knowledge doesn't get you through those times. You know what gets you through those times? Quite simply, there's faith. Faith. Faith gets you through. No amount of reading books in the library will get you through the wilderness, but faith will get you through. You know, it's very interesting. One of the things that Yeshua said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find what?
Faith.
Faith. He didn't say, will I find people's libraries? Yes, he will. He didn't say, will I find people whose Hebrew is good? Yes, he will. And they didn't say, will I find people whose kosher lifestyle is really, really good? That's not what he asked. He knew he would find these things when he returned. The one thing he highlights upon his return that was worrying Yeshua, even worrying God himself, that we would still have, was faith. And it's against faith which Hasatan fights. Everything he throws at us, all the problems and issues and situations, every time it's to grind down your faith. Because he knows you're not going to get up the next morning and have a bacon sandwich. And on one level, Hasatan doesn't really care. But what he really worries about, what really worries the enemy, is if you get out of bed one day and say, today I have faith in Adonai for him to do fantastic things in my life today and to reach out to people and to see my God do miracles for other people. That's what worries Hasatan, when you have faith. And it's against that that he will come again and again and again. And it's in those dry, dusty times when the Lord is looking at us to say, will you walk in faith? Will you walk in faith? Will you keep the faith at this moment? Or will you fall back on the flesh? Will you fall back on doing what seems right in your mind, in your own human understanding? Or will you sit before me and say, Abba Father, I have nothing, but I trust you today. In faith. Because that's where he needs us to be. That's where he needs us to be. When everything seems stacked against us, faith, we think, is something which is a gift of God, which gives to God, gives to us, and you know there is some truth in that. But I want to say to you, real faith is not just the faith that God has given us. Faith is what you have done with it. Have you walked with it? Have you tested its parameters? Have you pushed the envelope in faith? Have you seen God act because of your faith in your life? Not to sit there and think, thank you Lord, you gave me faith. Have you walked with it? Have you put it to good use? Or did you bury it in the ground and think, at least I can give it back to him when Mashiach comes? He wants to see what you've done with your faith. Real faith is bruised. Real faith is scarred. Real faith has got the knocks and the bangs of life upon it. It is battle worn and battle weary. That is faith. That you're still standing. Because God is God is God is God, and we will not move. Because that is where we stand. That is our faith. And Yeshua is our redemption. And we have salvation in the name of Yeshua only. And we stand in that name. And that is our faith. And it doesn't matter what comes and bangs against it. We feel it and we're knocked and banged backwards and forwards. But we will stand in that place and will not be moved. Because our God has said what he will do, he will do. And God cares for us. Every situation. And as despairing as sometimes it feels to us and our spirits are in torment and pain at times. And we cry out to God and he cares for us. He cares for us. Kepha says in his letter, and you know this one, you know the passage, but it's a beautiful passage. Chapter 5 from his first letter, he says this from verse 6 on. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself at that point, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. And he does. And the context of this humbling and laying hold of that care of Adonai at that moment, throwing all our cares and worries upon him, he goes on to say, therefore be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in your faith. Resist the roaring of Hasatan as he's roaring around you, trying to see whether you can be picked off or not at that moment. When you're worried whether God even cares for you as that pressure's coming on. And Yeshua says through Kepha here, throw your worries, your cares upon him. He does care, and stand in the faith and resist Hasatan. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in this world. We are not alone, people. I know, even here in this spiritual family, we are not alone in what we're experiencing and seeing. From what I'm hearing from believers around the world, the pressure from Hasatan is being cranked up daily at the minute. Messiah is coming soon. What can be broken will be broken. What can be shaken will be shaken. We have to stand in our faith, steadfast, and resist what the enemy is doing. Because he cares for us. He cares for us every day. He knows who we are. He knows our walk in those dry, dusty, barren times. Yes, there are places he takes us to because we learn to survive at those moments. We learn that discipline of walking in the Spirit in those difficult, challenging times. And we are changed into the likeness of Mashiach during those times. We get to know our God in those times. And it's then our faith is strengthened in him. Faith to stand steadfast, to resist what the enemy is doing. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning. When the enemy pushes hard, pushes in hard like a flood, the battle belongs to Yeshua, it belongs to him. Keep going. Set your face as flints to follow Yeshua, come what may. Stand strong in your faith in him. Because times are coming, people, when it's not going to be easy to stand in Messiah. It's not going to be easy. And I'm saying choose now. Choose now. Get the oil now. Get ahead of the curve. That when it begins to break, we have been prepared. We've changed. God has taken us through those times of testings and trials. Stress testing us all. And he's found us to be reliable and faithful to him. Get ready because his times are coming. And we need that faith. That faith with confronting Hasatan, steadfast in our faith that we can say, I resist you, Hasatan. You have no right in my life to stop the will of God. And we see him run because he cannot withstand the faith and the name of Yeshua, which is in us. And that does not happen overnight. You grow in this. And that's walking in the dry, dusty times. You grow and learn that authority and power in the name of Yeshua. To live and walk on that level. Be encouraged, people, if you're in that moment right now, God is teaching you something. He is showing you something. He's making you stronger. And he's preparing you for what is to come. And he knows us, he loves us and cares for us. And we must never, ever stop walking in him. Amen.